Hey friends, welcome to a very special episode of Seminary Dropout. I'm talking with my friend Sam Hoover from Compassion International about a recent trip that we took to Sri Lanka. Here we go. You're listening to Seminary Dropout, and I'm your host, Shane Blackshear. In cooperation with MissioAlliance.org, straight from my house in Austin, Texas to yours, interviews with leading Christian authors, leaders, and thinkers, because good theology should be for everyone. This is Seminary Dropout. Let's go! Sam, you work for Compassion full-time. Do you want to talk a little bit about your role at Compassion, what you do?
Yeah, of course, Shane. Good to talk to you, man. It's been a while, right?
It has. We've been back for what, a couple of weeks now?
Right.
I slept the first week, so it only seems like a week since we've been back.
I was going to say, I think I just got over my jet lag too. That was pretty brutal. So a little bit about Compassion. Compassion is a holistic child development organization. We serve 1.8 million kids in 25 countries around the world, helping to release them from poverty in the name of Jesus. My team, I have literally the best job at Compassion, better than the president, better than any executive, because my team gets to use social media. So sites like Instagram and sites like YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, like we get to use all of these new tools to connect with our sponsors, connect with the public who has a heart for kids, heart for the poor, and just build relationships and spread a good word. It is an amazing job, and I'm lucky enough that I get to travel around the world to do this. Like I still pinch myself whenever I think about the things I get to do for my job.
Real quick, we'll just on the show notes for this show, I'll put links to all the Compassion social media accounts, Instagram, Snapchat, obviously Facebook, Twitter, that stuff's easy. So everybody go check those out. And if you're on those platforms, go and subscribe to the Compassion accounts. Cause
awesome. Thanks, Shane.
Sam's the genius behind all of those.
Well, I don't know. Genius is probably a bit generous of a word.
So you, me, and Tom were alone for the first, 24 hours or so in Sri Lanka. We haven't even mentioned that's where we went. Check out what Compassion was doing in Sri Lanka. And we went and toured the local, which I guess is like the headquarters of Compassion in Colombo, and got to see kind of what they did.
Yeah, we did. It was, I've been, like I said, when I get to travel, I've had the fortunate experience to go visit the country offices where we operate in. And man, you talk about important people in breaking the cycle of poverty with the kids and families that we serve. The country offices are really the unsung heroes. And I'm probably going to use that term a lot whenever we talk about the people that we meet, because we focus so much on what we do, what Compassion does, what the sponsor can do. But it's easy to forget that there's a whole army of workers who are in country, who are preparing meals and telling stories and visiting families. That they're really the ones who are doing the hard work of Compassion's program. So one of those teams that we got to meet So one of the teams that we got to meet were a group of translators. So Compassion is a sponsorship organization. You can sponsor a child in one of these countries. And one of the benefits of sponsorship is being able to write a letter to the child that you sponsor. Well, these letters, they're real kids who speak sometimes a really different language, as we learned on the trip, that need, these letters need to be translated. And I don't know many people in America who speak Sinhalese or Tamil, the two languages in Sri Lanka. So these letters get sent over to the country offices where they are translated by real people. It's not automated. It's not done through technology. We've tried that, and the technology in with some of these languages hasn't quite caught up to where we need it to be. So we got to meet the team who actually sits down and reads every single letter and translates every single letter. It was really special, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was telling you, it was really meaningful to me. You know, before this trip, I had no knowledge of the back end, so to speak, of Compassion. My role is I've been a sponsor to a couple kids for my wife and I have for several years. And so, you know, intellectually, I realized that, yeah, these letters I'm writing, they're getting to my kids somehow, and obviously they don't speak my language, so they're being translated. But it's really a different thing to go and see and put flesh on that and see there's these people at a desk and they get letters and that stationery looks just like the stationery that I send that comes from Compassion, and they're sitting there and they're translating those letters, and that is their job, and they do it so well. It was just so meaningful to see that in real life.
What I love about the idea of real people is that these guys are touching every single letter. They're praying over every single letter. They're adding that special just unique touch that they can give to the relationship between your sponsor and the children. I don't know, just like I said, unsung hero. These guys do incredible and very, very valuable work.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, you could tell it was important to them. Like, it wasn't just a simple language translation. They knew the value in the things that they were doing, in the letters that they were translating for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how often they actually get to go out to the field to a Compassion project. I know we have several in Colombo, so there might be an opportunity for them to. But I don't know how often that they actually get to see, what it looks like, the look on a child's face whenever they receive a letter, the look on a child's face when they know they find out that they have a sponsor. It's just one of those, just kind of like an aha moment, like, oh, this is much more than just translating a letter. This is more than just sponsorship. We're actually building a relationship, or helping to build a relationship between a child and someone who really loves them.
So here's the other thing that I was thinking as I toured the office there. And that's where we should be clear. Like, this is where all like the administrative work happens. You mentioned there's centers probably in Colombo and then the rest of Sri Lanka, but kids don't physically come there for schooling, for church, or anything like that.
Correct.
This is only a second overseas trip I've ever taken. You've taken several, and several with Compassion, but I have sat over here at the States, reading books about a lot of things, but among those things, how people can effectively help other people well, and how some people have helped other people not well, and in fact hurt them. So those are things that are always on the front of my mind, and especially on this trip. And, you know, I could have gone, it wasn't like I was going to check up on Compassion, but, you know, I could have gone if I had seen some things. I would have had no problem coming back home and saying, sorry, Compassion, I think I'd rather not partner with you. But I was so completely impressed with every step of what Compassion did there. There are plenty of NGOs, of nonprofits, who will go into another country and will bring with them a staff of Americans that will live there and do that job there. Everyone we encountered were nationals.
Yeah.
At the office there, and then also in the field, there was no one who had transplanted from the States to get there. They were people helping their own people.
Yeah, and I think that's extremely important. That mentality, or, you know, MO, was kind of was installed in Compassion early on, being able to use the local church being able to use local staff, volunteers, mentors, pastors, because there's something, there's definitely value in physically going and helping people. I don't want to diminish that, but to be able to see your own neighbor actively shaping your future, you know, helping you learn how to read, helping you with your studies, serving you a meal. Man, there's just a lot of power in that. You know, and I think one of the things that you brought up is just kind of this idea of fostering development, not dependence. So what compassion is really focused on doing is not doing for others what they can do for themselves. You know, like I said, being an act, you know, allowing kids to be active in shaping their future, not like a passive receiver. And so that way, you know, they develop this this idea of empowerment. Oh, I can do this. I can do this myself. I don't have to have my hand out waiting for something in return. I can do this myself. And I think they're, like I said, they're both important. But the sustainability and the longevity of development rather than dependence is what we're really going for.
So that next day we left Colombo and headed out for one of the centers.
Yeah, we did. We took a 2-hour bus ride, met complete strangers, were forced to become quick friends. Yeah. And we went to a center, that operates one of our programs, called the Child Survival Program. So the reason behind us doing this program, it's not the sponsorship program. This is something that's unique, something that's different. This program serves pregnant moms, new moms, and their newborn babies. Really the best time to start a child, and helping them break that cycle of poverty is early on, is giving them a good start at life, helping to educate moms on how to take care of their babies. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but you know, a lot of children growing up in developing worlds, they don't start off on a good foot, even if they even survive. And so part of what we realized is in addition to our sponsorship product, so to speak, that's a bad way to put it.
Program.
In addition to sponsorship, being able to have another way to serve kids and their moms and their families was doing this child survival program. So we got to go to a center that was running one of these CSPs, we'll call them, child survival programs.
So when I was, you know, seeing that, learning about what compassion was enabling to happen on the ground, there again, like, I just sit here in the States all the time, just reading horror stories about terrible NGOs. There are, like, quote unquote orphanages around the world. They will court American tourists to come and, like, hold orphans. What they don't know is that a lot of times those kids were separated from their parents unnecessarily. Like, there's just a lot of shady stuff going out there. There's a lot, let me tell you, like, there's a lot of good things that are going out there too, and a lot of orphanages that are needed and that are good. You know, what was occurring to me was, it's not just that compassion helps kids, but they help families take care of their kids and stay with their kids. And, like, I don't know that if compassion wasn't there, these families would be able to take care of their kids and have to give them up. But they're making these families stronger and making it so the families can take care of their kids, their own kids, regardless of what religion they are or anything like that. Yeah. They just help these people where they are.
Yeah, I think that's, one of our core, one of our core things is, and I've mentioned it already, is working through the local church. So, this church that we visited in Sri Lanka, this pastor realized the benefit. He saw the need of to help pregnant moms, new moms, and their babies. And so we're essentially just adding to what's already being done at that local church. Maybe the official program wouldn't be in place if it weren't for compassion, if it weren't for the support. But the heart and the motivation is already there. The pastor sees the need in the community, and then compassion can come in and help lift them up. It's not like compassion is going in and trying to find these opportunities. There's a ton. There are a lot of opportunities to serve the poor and around the world. We're looking for Christian churches who already have that heart in order to just help them maximize what they want to do, what they feel called to do.
Yeah, and that was the other thing too, is it's not that compassion goes into an area and says, we've got some money, hey, local churches, who would like some to do something? They find the churches that are already doing something, who already have a heart for the children in that area, the community in that area. You know, one of the pastors at the churches that we went to, he had been given some kind of official position by the government to help protect the community's children.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because they just saw that he was already plugged into the community, to the kids. He cared about them. He cared about their welfare. And so as Sri Lanka is developing, they're creating, these social services to help protect kids. They saw that he was already involved in that and said, hey, can we, give you an official capacity to help out with that? I just thought that spoke volumes to him and to the kind of people that Compassion is working with there.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. And that's not, that is a very, amazing story, but that's not unique, right? Like, governments around the world that they see the benefit that compassion brings to the local church. They see the benefit of the church's ministry in these communities, and they want to get, for the most part, they want to get behind that work.
A testament to that pastor specifically, and a testament to how smart and strategic compassion is with the people that they work with. So one of the things that was great was when we went to, I didn't expect this, but when we went to the centers where the kids were learning or the churches, they put on programs for us. Like, it was awesome. They were like singing songs, and one time we were greeted down the road with like a procession of children who were in these kind of costumes, and they're waving Sri Lankan flags and playing instruments.
Yeah, I don't know how you felt about that, but I was super humbled, right? Like, I'm just in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't deserve this. Like, I'm just some joker from America who, I'm just here to come hang out and play. But man, they have such pride in what was going on in their center, pride in their building, their community, and they saw it as an honor that we would come to visit them. And so, yeah, huge procession with flags and colors and music, and man, just felt like a celebrity. And the whole time I'm just thinking, no, like I'm not the celebrity here. Like, you guys are, you kids are amazing. Like, let's put that, let's, as much as this is my, I have a hard time sitting through those, through those presentations or doing those programs, because all I'm thinking of is, man, I just want to hang out with the kids. Let's go find a soccer ball and let's play, or let's, do some magic tricks, or fill up balloons and let's just play. Let's just have a good time.
what I was thinking when they were doing all this is, oh, no, no, no. They think we're like important people. We need to be clear. Like, I'm no one. Let me be clear.
Right, right.
I'm nobody. You don't need to do this for us.
I was about to say unsung hero again. Maybe I should have like an unsung hero tally count or something like that every time I say it. But yeah, so the kids, like you said, they don't come to the office in Colombo. They actually go to their local church. The compassion program is put on by volunteers, by leaders, by staff, by mentors who are. I mean, Shane, like, how old were these people who were putting on the program? Maybe in their 20s?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Like, very, like, very young.
And they're doing all sorts of stuff, cooking food, teaching lessons from the Bible, singing songs, helping out with their homework, cleaning up. Like this is all, and this is, they're volunteers. Like, these guys aren't getting paid to do this. Again, it's kind of out of their own heart to serve their community. They see a need, and they're just so compelled to do something about it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
It's impressive. It's so impressive, and I leave just in awe of how much time and energy and work it takes to do one program. Like, yeah. We visited, you know, that was one church that we visited that had maybe, you know, 150, 180 kids or something like that. And then when you think of scope, that Compassion does this in 25 countries and with 1.8 million kids, like that, I don't know, like when I start thinking of scope and when I start thinking of how big the outreach is and the ministry is and all of the kids who are benefiting from this, man, it's humbling.
One of the places we went was, I think it was the second church we went to. And correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of the places, the church building functioned as the school as well, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. But one of them, it wasn't the case. The learning center was somewhere else, and we were at the church. We were there hanging out with the kids. And, you know, when we were there, again, like, jet lag in a foreign country, days of the week mean nothing to you.
Right.
The whole day, the kids were having fun, and the volunteers were entertaining them and singing songs with them and doing things. They fed them a meal. It was like towards the end of the day, and I realized, or somebody said it, it's a Saturday. They were there because the program provided them a place to go on a Saturday, a meal to eat that looked pretty good, and just a place where they could go, where they could be safe and have fun and be taken care of. It was on a Saturday in addition to the full school week that they had had.
Yeah. And that happens at every compassion program. So every compassion program, they will meet at least once a week. All of the kids will get a nutritious meal. Throughout the program, they will get a Bible. And then they will have time to help, you know, get help with their studies, get help with their homework, talk about life skills, learn a life skill. But every single program, yeah, they get a Bible, they get a meal, and they meet at least once a week. And then all of the extra parts of it, whether it's a dance team that we saw or a team putting on a skit, like, that's all kind of contextualized for the needs and desires of the community.
One of the other things that we got to do was to go to some of the kids' homes with them and see where they lived, meet their parents, sometimes just mom, sometimes mom and dad. And that was so cool too. And I didn't even mention that I got to meet my sponsor kid while we were there. You know this story, but unfortunately, Compassion has had to leave India with other NGOs and nonprofits. The government has kind of, my understanding, the official stance is they've kicked out everyone who receives foreign funds. And so, unfortunately, my wife and I have sponsored a girl there for like almost 10 years. And so Compassion has been really good about warning us that before it happened, like, hey, it looks like if nothing changes, we're going to have to close down in India because we're being kicked out of there, and knowing that we had a sponsor child there. So the week before we left for Sri Lanka, we had literally written our last letter to our sponsor child in India. And it's, you know, it's really, really sad. So we weren't going to be able to sponsor her anymore. And while we were there on the trip, I kind of told you and Tom, some of the other Compassion people, like, hey, I just lost a sponsor kid. So we're going to pick up one anyway. It might as well be here. And so we did that. I sponsored him like online, signed up to sponsor him one night, and the next day I got to meet him.
So yeah.
That was pretty cool. So, you know, I got to meet him, and then we got to go to his home. And I met both of his parents. I saw where they lived. And one, this is a good segue to something else. Compassion was actually helping them build a new home where they were on this plot of land. They had been living in this kind of, I guess we call it a grass hut, a grass house. You know, it's made of leaves from the trees. It's really amazing. I mean, just kind of a feat of engineering. And a lot of the houses were made out of that. And pretty intricate too, probably bigger than what people would think of when I say a grass hut, don't you think?
Oh yeah, like the house that they were in was like, I think it was made of either bamboo or coconut. Like I remember, I think you asked the question about like their roof was like coconut leaves, like thatched coconut leaves, and either you or someone asked like how often they had to replace it, and they said every 2 years or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And so, and I got the idea that basically, you know, different parts of that house were different ages. So they're probably constantly replacing some part of it.
Yeah.
And so it's quite amazing. And you know, it looks like it provided them a relatively good shelter, but they were building a new house. It was made out of, and basically almost all the houses were made out of one of these two things, either the leaves or this kind of thing that I would describe as like a, it kind of had the appearance of a cinder block, you know, just made out of concrete, but almost the size of a brick. We saw a lot of houses like that. So they were in the midst of building this, and Compassion was helping them build it. And along the lines of what we were talking about earlier, Compassion, basically they give a percentage of the cost to help build it. And then the owners have to contribute the rest.
Right. Right. So, yeah. And that's, you know, kind of in addition to the sponsorship program, in addition to the child survival program, helping moms and babies, you know, the churches, they're in these communities and they see needs all over the place. You know, whether it's a house that needs to be rebuilt or, you know, I think the next day we visited several houses that were kind of built along a floodplain that got flooded pretty frequently. And so the local church and Compassion we're building new houses for them as well. So whether it's you know, the need of a new house, water filters, wells, you know, covering medical expenses like a visit to the doctor or even an emergency surgery, you know, donating supplies for school rooms, or sewing machines for workshops, like it's all, I don't know, it's all in the name of helping break this cycle of poverty without just throwing money at it, right? Again, it's kind of, we see the church sees the need in the community and we help empower these individuals to make decisions for themselves to help, that will help, help break the cycle.
And the thing, as I was meeting these people, seeing all that Compassion does there, I think it's part of just the way Compassion operates, but you know, I'm always on the lookout in myself for a kind of paternalism. Oh, these poor people need my help, that kind of thing. And there was just I think because of the way Compassion operates, there was just nothing in me that felt that, or the people around us. Again, the family of my Compassion or my sponsor kid, yeah, Compassion was helping them build a home. They took such ownership of that. Again, they paid for part of it and they were doing the physical building part of it too. So there was just nothing that was like, oh, these poor people need our help. And they had a life. It was very different than ours. They don't have a lot of amenities we do, but they were They were happy people. Their lives weren't sad in that way. They could use some help, sure, and compassion is doing that. But there was just a way about it that they had dignity without me, if that makes sense.
Yeah. They needed help. I think what you're trying to say is they needed help.
Yeah.
But they didn't need your help. Right? Like there was you know, we're kind of, we're about to get big here.
Go.
I don't know if you're ready. But there's just this human need for love and for purpose, and for hope for the future. And this idea that everyone needs to have that purpose and not just given to them, but helping them realize themselves what their purpose is in life. And that's what this is all about. Again, it's that idea of development, not dependence. But I think the other big idea is that when we talk about poverty, what we primarily think about is financial poverty. You know, if I give you money, you will not be poor. If I have enough money, then you have solved my problem of poverty. And it just isn't true, because there's more to poverty than that, right? There is the economic side, but there's an educational side. There's a health side to it. There's a social side to it. Like, this is why Jesus says, you'll always have the poor. You can have as much money as you want, but you're still not going to have enough. You're still going to lack something. And what compassion does is we try to address all of these aspects of poverty, whether it's financial, social, physical, mental, all of these different kinds of poverty. We feel like, and we believe wholeheartedly that it's not us who is the answer. It's not money who is the answer, but it is Jesus Christ himself. And the more that we can show Christ to our neighbors, and I mean neighbors in a global sense, but in a very practical sense, our neighbors who live right next door to us, the better that we will break this cycle of poverty.
Yeah, I think you said it well. And I think, you know, so many times we approach this kind of thing with the mindset of your life is terrible, but we're going to make your life wonderful. There's just not that sense with the work that compassion does. It's here, there's this advantage that would be really good for you, and we can help you get that advantage, you know, and whatever it is, you know, a house that will keep you out of floodwaters, or exposing you to the gospel, like you talked about, these different types of disadvantages and poverty. But I was just so impressed every step of the way of just the way that compassion operated there.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's good.
What other parts of the journey stick out in your head?
Oh, man. You know, I think, and you touched on this earlier, it's just this idea of how proud these people are, not in a bad way. They have a sense of you know, okay, let me start this over. So what struck me and stuck with me is just there's like the sense of hospitality. Mm. Opening up their house, no matter how dirty, no matter how messy, you've got kids taking baths, you've got you know, people, houses in disarray, rooms in disarray, but these people considered it an honor to share a part of their life, to open up their house to complete strangers, people who it's very likely we will never see them again. But they were willing to open up their house and share a little bit of their life with us, share a little bit of their story with us, share, you know, their food with us. That's something that is, I love my neighbors. I know my neighbors, but it's hard work to get outside and become friends with the people who live right next door to me or right across the street from me. The hospitality that we experienced in Sri Lanka was just humbling.
Yep.
Yeah,
and I think, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but there's a temptation in those kind of interactions to, again, towards paternalism. And when you are being served by these people, it changes the power dynamic, because we could go in saying like, oh, no, we need to help you. You're the ones who need the help, you know? But to go in their house and to be served their orange soda and cookies, it is, again, it's humbling, and it's so, you know, it turns those power dynamics on their head as well. And you're right. They were so giving and so serving. We kind of laughed because you and I had talked about like really wanting some authentic Sri Lankan food. And at every place we went to, they had their own meal, which was like rice and curry. And we got some of that sometimes, and it was delicious. And then for us, they would make some kind of sandwich and French fries.
French fries.
We had so many French fries on that trip.
I know.
It was so funny, but they were just so genuinely concerned that these Americans would have food to eat that they like.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and yeah, you hit the nail on the head. The idea that I was blessed, and didn't come out. I wanted to be a blessing, right? I wanted to go out and serve. I wanted to go and refresh these people and entertain them and just have a good time. And I left feeling like I had been blessed by them much more than I think than I felt they were with us.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's just part of being human, and part of you know, whether it's opening your house or just spending time with people, you know, it's true whether that happens around the world with kids or with, you know, your neighbors just across the street from you. I think we're all wired to connect, and this was a special connection, but it certainly can happen anytime, any place.
Going back to the family of my sponsor kid, from getting the tour around their house, we ascertained, I think they were Buddhist, from the little shrine that they had in their yard.
Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, I love that about compassion. There's no religious litmus test for who gets help. But I loved that the family of my sponsor kid knew there were these people that cared about him. And those people cared about them because they were Christians, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Without any strings attached, without wanting anything back. And I just love that, being just a small part of that. And, you know, it was really cool that the father was there, because I know that in a lot of the visits that we went on, the father wasn't there because they were at work or for whatever reason.
Right.
But that I got to meet him, and he asked me questions. I got to ask him questions, and like just being a part of this organization that let him know that they cared about him and his family was a big deal to me.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I think, what it reminds me of is just kind of like the roles that we're all playing in this story. Oh gosh, this sounds really cliche, but it's kind of true, right? Like without the family support, without the heart of the church, the local church, of the pastor, of the volunteers and mentors, without the work of the local office, without the heart and financial support of sponsors like you and me, like this, none of this would happen. And even missing one piece of that, it I don't know, it kind of lessens the chance of being able to break the cycle. I'm gonna show my nerd a little bit, but you know Lord of the Rings, right?
Well, yeah.
Have you heard of it?
Yeah. Am I saying it right? Lord of the Rings. Okay.
I think so. And it's Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings. I think of Fellowship of the Ring. I think of this group of this team that comes together for a single purpose. That's what I see. I see a lot of similarities. between that and what we're doing, right? There's all of these different people who have responsibilities to help a child break the cycle of poverty, release a child from poverty in Jesus' name. And without all of us doing our part, then the mission can fail. Even with us doing our part, the mission can fail. It's why we do it in Jesus' name, because there's no credit on our end. We're not doing this to gain our notoriety or our fame. In the churches, I don't feel like the local churches we operate, they're doing the same thing. I don't feel like the pastors are doing it. And certainly, like you said, the families are making a huge sacrifice. We see a need, and we see the potential that a child has, and we're all banded together behind this need, behind these kids, to lift them up and to do what we can to help them end the cycle of poverty.
I think I told you a little bit about this, but one of the people, I'll leave out names on purpose. One of the people from Sri Lanka that came with us throughout the entirety of the trip, she was telling me about her husband, who doesn't work for Compassion, but he works for another Christian nonprofit in the country, that he grew up Hindu, was really groomed to be somebody in Hinduism. So kind of deep down in that rabbit hole, and had a really, really, really pretty supernatural conversion to Christianity. And hearing that story is just a reminder that God was at work way before Compassion came to Sri Lanka, and certainly way before I took part in that in any way. But God gives us that opportunity to participate with him in what's going on there. And I know Compassion is not a primarily evangelistic organization. They're evangelical, but still I think those things go hand in hand with the gospel going out in the world and feeding the hungry and educating children and partnering in what God is doing there. And I think that that's kind of something that Compassion understands really well, is that partnering with God and what he's already doing.
You know, you mentioned Compassion's work in India ending earlier this year. And as tragic and as sad as that is, and as we are, it's why we work through the local church. Compassion may leave India. Compassion may leave, any of these countries. But the foundation, the structure of the church, that doesn't leave. The heart for the poor, the heart for kids, that's in the hearts of the people who live in those countries. Compassion may leave, but certainly Compassion the organization may leave, but Compassion the act of seeing a need and meeting it, that won't leave.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, no matter what political events happen, the church will God will remain faithful to the church, and the church will in turn remain faithful to him, and will help meet the needs of their communities, of the people they see around them. I see this same, it's the same story. Like in every country that we go to, you see pastors who love kids, see pastors who have a heart for their community. They're just compelled to do something about it. We just get to participate in the story. We just get to help lift them up. Golly, how many more euphemisms or how many more
cliches
can I use?
Oh, that's hilarious.
I don't know a better way to describe it. But the infrastructure and the heart for the poor is already there. We are just going to add our heart and our concern and our love to it.
That's great. Well, I'm to kind of change gears here. Compassion is going to be a sponsor of Seminary Dropout, and I'm so excited about that partnership. So if anybody wants to sponsor a child, they can go to compassion.com/dropout. Even if you don't, if you're on the fence or you're maybe not even interested, you can't sponsor a child right now. Go to that website and just kind of meander around the site and check out what Compassion does, what they're up to, what countries they're in. Go check that out. I'll have a link to it on the show notes, of course, like everything. But Compassion, it is easy enough to remember, compassion.com/dropout. Sam, thanks for having this conversation with me.
Shane, it feels like it was just yesterday we were there. It was so fun to just talk about memories of that we had together. And man, can't wait to see you in person, hopefully sometime soon. Hug your neck and laugh about the good times that we had.
Thanks for joining me for another episode of Seminary Dropout. Remember, you can find all the show notes for this show and all shows at shaneblackshear.com. Oh, and hey, have you ever thought about starting your very own podcast? I bet you have. And I think you should do it. In fact, I've created a course just for you to teach you everything that I've learned over the last couple of years producing Seminary Dropout. So if you're interested in podcasting and want to learn how, go check out my course. You can go there by typing in podcastingforeveryone.org. And you can get a special discount by typing in the discount code Seminary Dropout, all one word. That'll give you 25% off. So go check it out. If you have any questions, let me know. Okay. Thanks to those that left ratings and reviews on iTunes this week. Remember, that keeps the show front and center. Also, remember, you can find me on Twitter at @beardonabike. That's @beardonabike. Also, I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/ShaneBlackshear123. And remember that Seminary Dropout is listener supported. You can visit supportseminarydropout.com and press Become a Patron. Remember, this music you're listening to right now is by D.L. Rossi. You can find him online on iTunes and at dlrossi.com. All right, thanks again for joining me for another episode of Seminary Dropout. Stay tuned for next week's episode. Love you. Take care. But yeah.